I'm available to start at right tackle.
You can't see when I have clothes on.
Right. Well, there's not an even playing field. There's never been an even playing field. There never will be an even playing field.
But... What shampoo do you use on your hair?
You don't need to be Superman to play in this offense.
You're listening to The Red Zone.
Welcome, Badgers fans, to another episode of The Red Zone. I'm your host, Jason Galloway from the Wisconsin State Journal. We're going to try something a little bit different this week. Now, we already posted our normal Red Zone podcast for the week with Jesse Temple and Garrett Groshek. You can go check that out on iTunes. The podcast is also on Google Play now or Madison.com. But, you know, my normal mailbag column that we run on Fridays online at Madison.com, we're going to try that in podcast form here. I already asked you guys for your questions for the week, and so I've got those ready. And I'm going to answer them on the podcast here instead of typing them out. So let's get right to it. Our first question was from Biscuits on Twitter, at Whisk Inferno. I'm going to be terrible trying to say some of these Twitter handles. I might just read the questions without saying the people's names. But he asks, what's your grade for the offense outside of Jonathan Taylor so far this season? That's a good question because I think that, you know, when you look at this team and you take Jonathan Taylor away from its offense, you know, it becomes a lot more difficult for them to consistently move the ball. And it's kind of funny. They didn't really expect, you know, Taylor to do anything this season. I think up until a few weeks before the season started, they were kind of thinking they were probably going to redshirt him. And now he's turning into this star running back for them as a true freshman. And, you know, it's interesting that he was able to kind of you know, come into the program exactly when they needed him to. I mean, they started the season with Bradrick Shaw as their starting running back, and it was kind of a battle between him and Chris James for the starting spot before Taylor emerged. And, you know, thank goodness for them that Taylor has broken out this season. But as far as, you know, the offensive grade, you know, without Taylor this season, I would probably give it something like a C. You know, I think that, you know, they have had some games where they put up a good number of points. You know, I think the defense has put them in good positions at times. Jonathan Taylor, obviously, like we mentioned, has been really good for them. And but I also think that the turnovers they've had and some of the mistakes they've had in a lot of these games have really held them back from, you know, from doing better and putting up even more points. You know, I think even back with the FAU game, you know, in week two of the season, they you know, they made some mistakes in that game. You know, they turned the ball over some, squandered some opportunities, and only scored 31 points against a non-Power 5 team. And then we saw last week against Illinois was really the only time that we were able to see you know, this offense without Jonathan Taylor, and it only put up 104 yards in the second half against Illinois. So yeah, I right now I guess I'd go with the C. You know, I think there's potential there for them to kind of get things together. And I think the biggest thing, like I think I've said in the past, is some of the turnovers. You know, if they could eliminate some of the turnovers, if Alex Hornibrook could cut out the one or two really bad throws a game, I think the offense would look a lot better. I think they would score some more points, and I think people would be a little bit more optimistic about what this offense could do. They do have some playmakers. You know, even without Taylor, I think Quintez Cephas is having a huge breakout season. I do think Bradrick Shaw still has something in him. You know, I don't know if the injury is still bothering him from early in the year. He hasn't looked good since he returned. You know, maybe at some point he gets back on track. And, you know, at the end of last season, he was playing really well. So we'll have to see if he's able to get back on track. And I think Garrett Groshek has been really good for them the last couple of weeks. And you could even see him possibly being the lead back this week at Indiana if Jonathan Taylor's not able to go. All right, moving on to the next question. Sean Lingsweiler, at Lanzarus21. He asks, I know Chris could care less about the rankings, but do you think he will open up the playbook this week just to spark the offense? You know, that's an interesting question because, you know, I think obviously the coaching staff and the players are coming out and saying that, you know, the rankings don't matter. They're not paying attention to them. But I think, you know, coming in at number 9 like they did, being undefeated and being ranked behind 6-1 loss teams, I think there's definitely that fear there that they could go 13-0 and still be on the outside looking in if certain teams, you know, Notre Dame and Clemson went out and Alabama and Georgia both went out until they play each other in the SEC title game. I mean, there's no guarantees for Wisconsin, even if they win every game. Now, I don't think Chris is going to necessarily throw out, you know, I still think they're going to stick with the plan of, you know, we're going to take care of our business, we're going to win and not care about what it looks like. And, you know, if they want to leave us out then it's that's just what it is. You know, I don't think they're going to fundamentally change what they do because of, you know, because they were ranked number 9 in the poll. And, you know, they do need to win more impressively. They really do. They can't just keep beating bad teams by, you know, one or two scores and calling it a day. Well, they might be able to. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen. Clemson could lose to NC State this week. You know, Notre Dame could slip up at some point. They still have a couple tough games. You know, obviously Oklahoma still got Oklahoma State and TCU. So, you know, winning every game in the end, I think, will still probably be enough for them to get in. But that being said, you know, I don't think they're going to change the way they're playing. You know, I think Chris at some point will open up the playbook, but I think it'll be more because he feels like he needs to win the game. I don't think he's going to throw a bunch of crazy stuff out there just to try to, you know, to try to pile up more points and impress the committee. You know, I think if you read my film room piece this week, I think I even mentioned that I thought his play calling was pretty conservative, but I think it's because he felt like that he didn't really need to open it up that much. And, you know, although it was an ugly 14-point win, they were in control the entire second half, and he knew his defense wasn't going to give up that lead. So I think right now he's still just worried about winning the games. Let's see. Bill Woj at Slow Creek asks, when facing 8 or 9 players in the box, are UW's tight ends not able to beat linebackers in one-on-one? Wide receivers just can't beat a corner in single coverage. You know, that's something I went over in the film room this week, too, is I think they need to give their tight ends and receivers more opportunities to win those one-on-one matchups when teams are stacking the box against them. And, you know, we saw some situations against Illinois where they had 9, even 10 in the box, and they ran either some play action or just straight-up quick drop pass, and guys were open. I think you have certain players on your team that can win those matchups. Quintez Cephas can clearly win a lot of one-on-one matchups against the teams Wisconsin's facing. Troy Fumagalli is going to be able to get open. So I do think they need to trust Hornibrook and trust their pass catchers a little bit more when they are seeing 8 and 9 in the box, especially when, like against Illinois, Jonathan Taylor was out of the game and they weren't able to run the ball as effectively. You know, I think when you're facing 8 and 9 in the box, but you're still pounding the ball and still seeing results, and Jonathan Taylor's still back there, able, you know, capable of breaking off long gains, then I think that's fine. I think if you're able to move the ball that way, you know, they had a drive against Illinois when Taylor was still in the game where, you know, it was a 15-play drive where they ran the ball 14 times and finished off the drive with 12 straight runs, and they scored a touchdown, and that's great. If you can do that, then that's what they want to do, and that's what their offense is. But I think especially if Taylor's out and if teams are stacking the box and you're struggling a little bit, you've got to keep the defense honest and let guys like Cephas and Fumagalli win those one-on-one matchups. Let's see. Bill Woj has a couple other questions here, too. Any word on Chris James returning? Yeah, he's still questionable to play this week, so he's got a chance. I know he's going to travel with the team this week. We'll have to see. You know, I don't think he's been a huge loss for this team. I think Ibrahim and Groshek have done a good job of taking over the passing down reps at running back for him. You know, I think he is, you know, one of their best pass protectors at that position, and I think he can catch the ball too. And even though he kind of had an underwhelming start to the season and maybe didn't have the role that we kind of thought he would, he is a good player, and he will add to that group and give them some more depth when he returns. I definitely don't think it's crucial for him to return right away, but he may be available this week. We'll have to see. And then Bill also asked if I think this is going to be Nick Nelson's last year. I do think it is going to be his last year. You know, the more I watch Nelson, the more I like of him. I think he's really good in man-to-man coverage. You've seen a lot of teams try to test him deep the last few weeks, and he's kind of come up time and time again. And he probably you know, pushes the boundaries of getting called for holding or pass interference without actually getting called, as well as anybody I've pretty much ever seen. He seems like every single pass is thrown his way when he's in man-to-man coverage, it's like, is the official going to throw the flag? And then it doesn't come. And you watch the replay and you're like, you know, he was maybe grabbing just a tiny bit, but probably not enough to get called, and he knocked the ball away. So I think he's really good at that. And I think he's willing to, just from talking to him, you know, he won't really comment on whether he thinks he can make the next level this year. But I think if given the opportunity and he was going to be a fairly high draft pick, I think he would want to take that opportunity and go ahead and go pro. But that's just a feeling I get. He didn't necessarily say that, but I do think he's good enough to go pro. I don't think he's going to be a first round draft pick or anything like that, but I think he's going to be, you know, a high enough draft pick where he's definitely going to need to take a good long hard look at it. Let's see, Chris Burke at Chris_Burke asks, with an inconsistent and at times stagnant offense, do you see the Badgers turning to more trick plays, not throws to the center, but jet sweeps, etc.? Yeah, I don't think they're going to be, you know, passing too many more times to Michael Dieter like they did against Illinois. But you know, I did talk about the jet sweep a lot in my film room story this week too. That comes out on every Tuesday. We kind of, you know, break down, you know, put videos within the story for you to watch and kind of go a little deeper into the previous game. And this Tuesday on Madison.com, we went into the jet sweep a little bit. And, you know, I do think they want to eventually get that play working. You know, I think I kind of went into some reasons why maybe it hasn't been working. You know, I think teams are really, you know, at least Illinois was aggressively taking away that that sweep option for Wisconsin. I think that I think if they run a little bit more variations off that play, like I noted, you know, some fake jet sweep and run out the middle, or fake the jet sweep and pass. You know, I think, you know, they're typically running that play when teams are stacking the box against them to try to get to the edge quickly. But if you're able to, if teams are like Illinois are aggressively, you know, sending a safety down to the side that you're running the sweep on, that opens up the middle of the field sometimes, and you can, you know, you can get them on a fake jet sweep. And they did that to the 24-yarder to Troy Fumagalli against Illinois on their final touchdown drive before the Dieter touchdown. That was a product of that. So I think they could run more of that. You know, I don't really know what else they have in their arsenal to as far as necessarily trick plays to throw at teams. You know, we don't get to watch practice during the season either. You know, after the first couple weeks of fall camp, they close it up, and I'm sure they've been working on a lot of different things that they might pull out at some point. I think at some point we're going to see a Wildcat formation with Garrett Groshek again. You know, they ran one play of that against Purdue, and it went for 18 yards. I think they're definitely going to pull that out at some point. This might be, especially if Taylor's not able to go, this might be, you know, a good game to pull that out again if Groshek is going to be one of your lead backs, and to kind of throw something different at Indiana's defense. I think that might be a good idea, but we'll have to wait and see on that one. Let's see, what's our next question here? Scrolling through my Twitter account. Does Shaw need to slim down? He seems to not have any burst or speed. You know, I don't get that sense from being up close to Shaw a couple of times this season. He definitely doesn't look overweight or anything like that. He looks like he's in good shape. You know, like I said before, possibly, you know, that injury that he suffered earlier this year, that could possibly still be bothering him. It's kind of hard to say right now, but we'll just kind of have to see if he's able to get it together. I mean, I think the good news for Wisconsin is that you do have a guy like Groshek that has started to emerge and play really well. You know, I think I said this on our first podcast of the week with Jesse Temple. I think if Jonathan Taylor's out, Groshek is going to end up being their lead back in this game. I still think Shaw's going to start, but I think in the end, Groshek would end up with more carries. I think he's playing really well, and I think he's really capable of taking a lot of carries in this offense. So the good news is you can kind of lean on Groshek if Shaw continues to not really produce, and if something is still bothering him injury wise, you know, you don't have to pound him if Jonathan Taylor's out, and you don't have to rely on him for 20 carries in a game. You know, you can ride Groshek a little bit more, and and give Shaw some carries here and there. And I think they definitely want to get him going. I think they really believe in his in what he can do for this offense. But right now, it's not really going for him. And you know, we'll just have to see if he's able to get it together. Let's see. Andrew Katz asks. His Twitter handle is at Andrew P. Katz. 30 carries for Jonathan Taylor this week or 35? Well, he's got to play first to be able to get those carries. He is still questionable. We got an updated injury report Thursday morning, and he's still listed as questionable. He has practiced all week, though. I kind of get the sense that if I had to guess, I would bet Taylor plays this week. You know, I don't know that for sure, and he is still listed as questionable, but he has practiced throughout the week, and you know, whether he's 100%, that's a completely different story. And I think that for him to get to 30 or 35 carries, he would have to be 100% healthy, and I probably wouldn't bank on that. You know, I think that I think if he plays, we'll have to kind of see, you know, if they are able to give him a full load of carries. But it also depends on how the game goes as well. You know, if it's a, you know, if they need him for 30 or 35 carries and he's healthy enough to take it, I'm sure they'd do that. But right now, we're not even 100% sure if he's going to play. So we'll have to kind of see if he starts the game and then kind of the first couple drives, if, you know, see if he's getting a full load of carries. Let's see. Steam Sports at Steam Sports asks, what does Paul Christ eat for breakfast? That I could not answer. I'm not qualified to answer that question. You know, whatever it is, it's probably a good food. I mean, all breakfast food is great, right? So I don't know. He seems like maybe he's a cereal type of guy, but I really couldn't say. I don't not having any sleepovers at Paul Christ's house to tell you what he eats for breakfast. Let's see. I think this is our last one here. Lisa at LMYR Burrow. Okay, don't know what that means. She asks, not happy with the way they are running the jet sweep. Any chance they use Pryor in that play? Yeah. So we touched on the jet sweep earlier. Like I said, I think it has a little bit more with possibly the way teams are defending the jet sweep that's, you know, not making it possible for Wisconsin to really break off some big runs. You know, the thing about the jet sweep is you got to put the guy in motion before the snap. It's not really going to surprise anybody. If you watch those Illinois games, whenever Wisconsin put a wide receiver in motion across the formation, the weak side corner would point to the safety up top and tell him to crash down on the other side of the line, and you saw a few times on those jet sweep plays that safety was coming down early and making that play. Now that opens up some other stuff for Wisconsin to run off of the jet sweep and fake it and do some other things, like I said. But I don't think the particular player that's running the jet sweep is really the issue. Now, I do think in talking to some of the players last year, they really thought Jazz Peavy ran the jet sweep better than anybody. They thought he ran at the perfect speed, and he really knew how to run that play. And obviously, he's not available right now, so you know, we will have to kind of see if he's ever able to get back. But I don't necessarily think, you know, whether they're running it with Quintez Cephas or you know, Danny Davis has run it a couple times before he got injured. I don't think Kendrick Pryor would have necessarily any more success than those guys. So you know, the little bit that we saw in fall camp, I didn't see Pryor run that play at all. That it, you know, maybe at some point they try him there, but I don't necessarily think that's the reason the play isn't working. Well, thanks guys, thanks for all your questions. I think that's going to do it for this week. I hope you guys like the podcast version of this. We will probably try this again next week. Let me know on Twitter if you enjoyed this form of the mailbag or not. You know, I think I can give a little bit more expanded answers, I guess, in this form than having to type everything out. So, you know, join me for a live chat on Twitter after Saturday's game at Indiana as well. We'll do that like we normally do every week. And keep visiting Madison.com for all of your Badgers football coverage. Thanks for listening.